Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Who's ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Anybody? All right. Did y'all make it through last night? Did you embrace the shock? Did you go home and process everything and come out feeling stronger this morning? Anybody in the room? It was a good night. I tell you what, I am excited to be back with you this morning. I am going to teach a word this morning that I love very, very much. I am incredibly serious about the Word of God. And I love theology, and I love studying the Word, and I love knowing what it means, and I love the history of it. I love everything about the Word of God, but the reason that I love it is because I'm kind of like, I geek out about the Word of God. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I get super pumped, like, whenever I learn something new, or I'm weird that way. Like, some of you are this way about crafts. Some of you are this way about sports. Some of you are this, we were this way about basketball in Kentucky, but they canceled all of that. So now all we have to do is like geek out about other things. So I'm telling you, like, I get so excited. Like, I love the Word of God. And I want you to know this morning why. The reason is the Word of God is quick and it is powerful, and it's like a two-edged sword, and the Bible says that it divides between between the soul and the spirit. Do you know what that means? It divides between the truth and what we feel. Wow, that's such a big deal. How many of you have ever just been like, man, I don't know if this is me or God? Have you ever had that feeling like, I don't know if this is me or God? Guess what happens? That sword comes, and it pierces to the dividing of it. Like, I want to murder my husband today. I wonder if that's me or God. And sometimes you could like justify that it's God, right? But it's not, because the Word of God says to honor him. So we have these staples in Scripture that obviously we know that was a joke. I understand that that's way off. But there are those moments that it's a thin line, right? And sometimes we just don't know. And the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit so that we can know. But how many of you know if you don't know the Word, you can't know the Holy Spirit? And so in knowing the Word, we get a guideline so that as we learn to live by the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it's like such an easy thing then, because we can guide, we can guard, we can measure. That's what, have you ever heard anyone say that the Bible is canonized, that it's canonical, that they put it in the Word canonized? You know what that means? It means it's a measure. That's good, right? Because it's like, oh, okay, now I can measure what that thing is that's true. So the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it comes and it divides between your soul, what you feel, and the Spirit, which is truth. And so I love this about the Bible, because then in any situation, I'm with my kids, I'm dealing with something, I'm like, Holy Spirit, I need you to lead me. I can know that if it's according to the Word that I'm on the right path. In fact, I can choose it even if I don't have anything in the natural that tells me that it's right. I can choose the Word. I once had a girl in my Bible study, and she got saved. In fact, we started our church in a bar. We believe in turning taverns into tabernacles. That's what God does with our body. And so we just decided, well, it'll work. I'm not going to take a lot of credit. I thought it was a bad idea. And we walked in, and Brian's like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a beautiful church. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, no, it isn't. We had rats. We had bats. It was a horrible location. Not to mention the fact that I was 23 and he was 26, and I wasn't really sure that anyone would listen to us anyway. And amazingly enough, they came, and it was terrifying. I walked in to this building, and one morning, and my secretary was like, I can't stay here. We must go. I'm like, what happened? She said, Jesse, a rat the size of a cat was eating the breath mints when I walked in. She said he was on his hind feet just eating them like this. I've never eaten a church mint ever since that day. Like, I'm done, right? So these rats were, we were right down from the granary on the Ohio River, and they were gigantic. They were grain-fed rats. They were impressive rats, and they could get into anything. Pretty sure there was a homeless man living there. We never could find him, just his clothing. We had a water feature that we called a water feature. It was actually just that our roof had a hole in it, and it would just pour down from the ceiling. And so we just decided it was a waterfall, and people pay money for that, and we just enjoy it because the person who owned the building wouldn't do anything about it. So this went on for years. And we are in this building, and every Sunday morning, you think I'd be praying for the people, but I wasn't. I was just praying, God, don't let the building fall in. That's all I wanted from Jesus. It was an old bar called Club 101, and we took this place and renovated it into something that really glorified God. And there were so many people, and we took it to capacity. I was literally afraid that the floor was going to fall in. It was an old wooden floor over a basement, and when people would start to praise God, it would just bend under the pressure, and we could feel it bending. And I would say, oh, Jesus, let them praise, but let us live, you know? So here I was. I'm 23 years old. We're learning what it is to plant a church from scratch, and people are coming from everywhere because there wasn't a single other church like ours in the entire region. In that area of the country, it's not like here where you just pick and choose, you know, just like great people everywhere. In that area of the country, there's not Spirit-filled, Bible-believing, progressive churches. And so we were planting this church from scratch, and this girl came in. And she said, she was helping us get the building ready, and she said, Jesse, I want to know God. And I said, yeah, I know you want to know God. I can tell you've been here every single day. Like every hour she wasn't at work, she was there scrubbing toilets with me and getting it ready. She said, I want to do that thing that you do when you call people up in the service. What is that? I said, that's called the salvation call. She's like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, well, it's where you receive Jesus into your heart. This woman had never understood that she could be saved. She was 25 years old and never heard that Jesus wanted to change her life. And so, see, we take that for granted in areas of the country where that's prevalent. And so I said, okay, let's pray. Let's lead you to Jesus right now. He's here in this place. She said, Jesse, you don't know what I did in this place. I said, God does. She said, I know, that's the problem. I need to go outside. I said, no, God's not judging you. It's fine. She said, no, I'm telling you, I cannot talk to God right now. Here, it's just not going to happen. I partied in this club, and I need to go outside to get right with Jesus. So we went out to my Honda Civic, and I led her to God, and she began to get hungry for the Word of God, and she would say to me, Jesse, it's like I've got so much of the Word in my heart that I can't help but do something with my hands. That changed me on a level that I didn't even know I needed to be changed. When she said that, it impacted me. I thought, man, the Word of God has come and become quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword in her life. It is divided between what she feels and what she knows to be truth. Now she understands the Word, and as she grew in her faith, she began to lead her children through a Bible every night. They would read the Bible through in a year, her and her small children. And I mean in a joyful way, not like in a sit-down mom going to torture you way. It was just beautiful to watch this family grow in their faith. And in that moment, it was one of my first awakenings to how important the Word of God is whenever it comes to people. But I find that the seed of the Word of God is so impactful, so big, so much more than our experience, so much more than, hey, this happened to me. It's a big, big deal. And Jesus obviously felt the same. I want you to go with me to Matthew 13 today. We're going to go to a passage of scripture that you may or may not be familiar with. It's called the parable of the sower. It's one of my favorite passages of scripture. I named a child after this passage of scripture. My oldest daughter that was here last night, her name is Briley Grace Gibson. Her name means the gracious remover of the thorn from the field. And so I love the parable of the sower because I believe that God has called us to keep the soil good. And any way that we have to do it, that's important. On the same day, we're going to start in verse 1, Matthew 13. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got in a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Smart Jesus, no microphone. He's using the elements for his help. He's letting his voice go against that shore and bounce back so that all the people can hear. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came, and they devoured them. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth. They immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and they choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop. Some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Say, "I have ears to hear." Seed is a big deal. And I think in the church, we get so concerned with if the seed is good that we forget to be soil protectors, soil inspectors, I should say. I've heard so many Christians say, "Well, I left that place because I just wasn't being fed." I think that's a really cop-out way to say, "I just didn't show up with my soil right." So whenever I hear people say that, I say, "Ooh, sister, you better check that soil." Like, do you have real friends that'll look you in the eye? Because I feel like if I'm telling Brandy I'm not getting fed, she's looking back at me and saying, "Sister, you better inspect your soil." Why? Because the seed is never under investigation. The word is 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 the word. And it doesn't change. And no matter who speaks the word is still good. I could go get you the most foul, evil sinner that you've ever found in your entire life, and everybody knows that they're foul, and if they speak the word, it's the word. Now, I'm not saying that it would mean anything coming out of their mouth to you as an opinion or as some kind of direction from their life, but if they speak the word, how many of you know it's still the truth? So when someone says to me, "I'm not being fed," I immediately become a soil inspector. I'm like, "All right, let's talk about the soil, because the seed is good." And how do I know this? Because I'm from Kentucky. Now, I'm from Amarillo, but I've lived in Kentucky for 16 years. You know what they have in Kentucky? Grass. Hey. Trees. This fair-skinned girl loves the shade. My friend came with me from Kentucky on one of our first trips here. She walked out in my sister's front yard that looked like it had some kind of coverage on it. She's from Kentucky. She went barefoot. It's true. People from Kentucky go barefoot. You think people are making fun of them? They're not making fun of them. They're used to having grass. And if you have grass, it's fun to go out there barefoot. Why? Because when you go out there, it feels good like carpet under your feet, doesn't it, Stevie? Stevie, stand up. This is my friend, Stevie. She's from Kentucky. She's the sweetest girl you've ever met in your life, so if you get a chance, you should meet her. She gives the best hugs that have ever been had on the planet, and she is a precious girl. Her husband is our campus pastor here in Amarillo. Thank you, Stevie. Stevie, will you testify that the seed is good in Kentucky on that grass? Very good. So I brought with me today a little Kentucky 31. It is a seed that is impressive. Now, I asked Pastor Jordan, her husband, for this seed because I knew that he had it, and he gives me basically anything that I would ask Pastor Jordan he would do for me. I feel like he would just step in front of a bus if it was about to hit me, but he had to think about whether or not he wanted to share a seed. So I'm just telling you, it's good. And whenever we say bluegrass, we mean bluegrass. Like, it is epic stuff. It is not just regular grass that we're used to in West Texas. And so whenever you have seed that is growing something good, it becomes obvious to everyone. We go outside barefoot as much as we possibly can. But when I brought my friend to Amarillo, she ran out in what she thought was grass, and she got in a thorn patch, man. Stickers everywhere. And she does this to me. What in the world is happening here? She just gets down on all fours and she puts her feet up in the air like this and she says, what is this on their dirt? I said, those are called stickers, friend. She's like, help me. So as she's on all fours just like this, I literally am picking thorns out of her feet. She said, why would anyone live here? She couldn't figure it out. We were dying. We have it on video. We weren't even helping her. We were videoing her. Have you ever been there? Just like your kid, something terrible is happening, and you're like, hold on, I'll help you in a minute. And then you get your like phone out, and you're just videoing them. Then later on, you're like, I should not have done that. Like, I should have helped, but it was too funny. I had to video it first. It's what happened. It's what happens. So here we go with the seed, and she's sitting there with all these thorns, and it's reminding me of the parable of the sower, because when the thorns are there, they need to be taken out. Now, it starts off saying that there's shallow ground. It's like, you know, like concrete, like a sidewalk, and they throw the seed, and some people just have no depth of knowledge. They just don't know Jesus yet. But how many of you know that when Jesus comes into your life, he puts soil in you? And whenever you get that soil, now you have an opportunity. That faith in Jesus, as the shed blood of Jesus comes to your life, that faith in that salvation, it brings soil inside of you. And now you have a choice to live from what's inside of you and not let the world determine how you live. Because we think that experiences are affecting us, but really the soil that's on the inside of us is what is affecting our life. We're not living from the outside in. We're living from the inside out. If there is a place in your life that is barren, you can sow a seed in the soil of your heart and begin to grow faith. And when that seed drops into your soil, you have a choice to be a soil inspector. Make sure that soil is good. So we have people that the seed comes to. They just don't know anything about Jesus yet. They're hard of heart. Things have come in their life that have hardened them. And when that happens, the seed comes, and it might even like spring up in a crack a little bit, but then when the sun comes, it just scorches it and it kills it. It doesn't last long. That's why it's so important to give people an opportunity to receive Jesus quickly as they come in to the knowledge of the faith. Because it's in that place that God drops soil down inside of them. This nutrient-rich, wonderful soil. And then what does it say next? It says, I'm going to get to it on my phone here. The next problem that we have with the soil, if you have soil and it begins to be sown, it says the birds came and they devoured it, right? That's the first one. The birds came and they devoured it. And how many of you know that when you don't know much and it's shallow, it's easy for someone to come and say, did God really say that? Is that really true? Did that really happen? Can you really do that? And then you just give up on that thing as you've received the word, but there's no soil there. And then next it says that it came and fell on the stony place where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, but they had no depth of earth, and the sun came and scorched it. Let me get that right. Stony ground. Some of you know Jesus. There's enough soil in the cracks that you can actually grow something. But if the sun comes out, you're in big trouble. You're praying for rainy days right now. Just a little bit of shadow, right? This is the reason, because stones of life come and they are in your soil and it's rocky. How many of you know you're not just instantly perfect the minute that you meet Jesus? Life has happened. In fact, for some of you, life happened before you ever got a chance to be in control of your own life. Someone didn't protect you and stones arrived in your soil. And I want you to know this morning that God can allow you to spy those stones out and to grab them and throw them. Sometimes you've been saved for a long time and you're not having any growth in your life and you need to inspect your soil because stones have gotten in there. Rocks have gotten in your soil. You say, Jesse, what kind of rocks are you talking about? Offense. Everything in the world offends you. Every time you're just one more stone, just adding it to the soil. And sometimes you just have to refuse the offense. Just grab hold of the offense and just let it go from your life. just, I'm not going to do that. I didn't like what that person said. I didn't like what happened. I didn't like the move that was made. But I have chosen by faith to grow the word of God in my heart, and I'm not giving up. And you're just taking a step. And then someone comes, and they try to throw them back in. Do you know repentance is one of the greatest ways to get stones out of your heart? Repentance, true and genuine repentance, is as loud as your offense was. So when you offend someone, instead of in front of, like, okay, you just go to the Amarillo baseball stadium and you get on the loud mic and you call someone out and you just call them names and you tell them everything that's wrong with them, then you can't go in the back room and whisper an apology. Because what you're doing is allowing your repentance to be more quiet than your offense. It's very important that when we offend in public, that we repent in public. When we offend in private, that we repent in private. It's a big deal. Some Christians have never learned this, and because of it, they can't keep friendships. They can't stay humble. There's rocks in their soil. And I don't mean going to someone else and saying, hey, you offended me. You did this. You need to repent. Because all that's doing is taking your rocks and throwing it in somebody else's soil. Because now they got to clean their soil up. The Bible says that if you have offended someone, go to them and repent for what you've done. So sweet, the other day I walked into the office. We have a sweet lady that works there. She works on some of our books. And she said, Jesse, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. She said, she's been in God for a long time, with Jesus, serving Jesus a long time. And I said, okay. I said, oh, Lord, she's going to quit. We need her right now. And she said, I just want to ask you to forgive me if I've offended you in any way by the way that I joke around. I said, what are you talking about? She said, I joke around really hard sometimes, and I just thought that maybe it might come off wrong, and you don't know me very well yet, and I'd just like to repent to you if I have offended you in any way. That was so precious to me. Like, how many times has someone just, like, she hadn't ever offended me. I think she's hilarious. I love everything about her. Her sarcasm is like the joy of my life every Tuesday. Like, I go into her office just so that she will say sarcastic things to me. And here she is just repenting to me in case she's offended me, like in a really precious, genuine way. I was so moved by that. I started crying. I'm like, oh my goodness, you have not offended me, but that is the sweetest thing that someone has done to me in church in years. How much better could we live and work together if we would take the time to be tender to the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't need her repentance. Maybe her heart needed that moment with the Holy Spirit. But anyone that comes and asks you, don't say, it's okay, no big deal. Say, hey, listen, if they've actually offended you, say, I forgive you. I receive your repentance and I forgive you. Say, Jesse, why is that so important? Because in that moment, everyone is taking rocks out of the soil of their heart. And we are ensuring that in the body of Christ, we're able to love one another and to grow a great harvest. When the seed comes, I want to be ready for it. If the seed comes in the form of Pastor Travis, I want to be ready for it. If the seed comes in my car going to Starbucks to get coffee with Pastor Brandy and she tells me something and it convicts my heart, I want to be ready for it. If I am at home and one of my kids says something and I receive a word from God through them, I want to be ready for it. On Sunday morning when the word comes, I want to be ready for it. And you know, some people are different. Can I make a mess in the church? Is that going to be a problem? Okay, I'm a little messy. I mess churches up. That's what I do for a living. They laugh at me because everyone wants to keep it tidy. I'm like, no, let's have a party. Let the kids have popsicles everywhere. It's not at my house, at the church. Okay. So this is it. Some preachers, they scatter seed like this. This is why people pick different churches. Because some of you, that is like the way that you receive the word, right? And it's so gentle and so nice. I want to be that preacher one day. I haven't gotten there yet. Pastor Travis, he's just like sowing the seed, just gently letting you have it. Here you go. We're going to go with that today. Sometimes the seed comes a little bit more like this. And you're like, oh, and you've got to be ready for it. That soil has to go. My pastor, he's intense. Pastor Bill Shear, he will flat karate chop you in the spirit. And he does not care if you like it. And afterwards, he will tell you that he loves you and get over it. I need that in my life. I'm a karate chop in the spirit kind of girl. Like, I need it in my life. It helps me. Sometimes people are just more graceful like this. We just had a prophet come to our church, and he was like, this is what's going to happen. This is your child's name. God loves you. Bless you. Stevie, hug them. I'm like, oh, my gosh, he's like the prophet of love. The word comes all different ways. But the seed is 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 the seed. Going through a little transition in our world right now where it's getting real technological. Things are coming over the TV. Oh, God forbid. Phone. Facebook Live. Shut up. No, the word can't come that way. Oh, but it does. You come and you get the word any way that you can get the word. You just keep sowing it into your life because it's only in that place that you keep all of that growing in your life. As much seed as you can get the seed and pay attention to the seed that's coming out of the house that God has called you to. Because it's in that place that you grow and a harvest comes. The third way that we see that happens to our soil. See, we're not inspecting the seed, we're inspecting the soil. Is the thorns, those things that grow up. They're slow, they're tricky. Sometimes you can't tell if it's a harvest or a little weed, can you? I pulled all kinds of things out of my garden in Kentucky thinking that they were weeds because we have so many here. And my friends would come over and go, girl, you just took all your flowers out of your bed. What have you done? I'm like, I didn't know the difference. I don't know what they look like. They're like, oh, dear, you've got to learn to detail look at what's coming up in your life. Is that harvest? Because sometimes we're like, I'm doing so good. And we're like, look at my harvest. Look at how much I'm growing. Look at me. That's telltale sign you got thorns, sister. Like, when your body language looks like this, yeah, thorns. Because humility looks a lot different. And the word grows humility in your life. It grows humility. So do children. That's why God wants us to have them. How many of you got married and thought you were perfect, and then you got married and you realized that you are completely jacked up? Yeah, because they bring the jacked up out in you. I thought I was doing so good, and then I married Brian. And I find myself in the apartment at 19 years old, and he is so much better than me, even though I thought I was so much better than him. Because he had lived in the world, and he had been on drugs, and he had done all these things, and Jesse had lived in church, and Jesse had served Jesus, and Jesse was on the worship team, and Jesse had it all together. No, she didn't, because she acted like a lunatic the first week she got married. And here Brian is looking at me, and he says, when you can talk like a normal human, I'll be back. I'm like, you come back here. I am a human with an anger problem. Like, I wanted him to come back in to the anger. He wasn't going to do it. We're fighting like crackheads. I mean, it is awful. I know y'all are perfect, okay? I get it. I thought I was. Then Brian showed up. He could anger me like no other. We are very passionate people. If we fight, it's 5 minutes hard and fast, and it's over. We're good. But boy, oh boy, do we give those 5 minutes our all. So here I am, and he is arguing with me, and I'm screaming back, and he's arguing with me, and I'm screaming back, and then he walks away, and I'm mad, shaking mad. and he walks in the other room, and I go up to the door because I'm nosy, and I put my ear on it, and I can hear Brian saying, God, you have to help me. I've never been married before, and I don't know how to do this. I love her, but I'm very frustrated, and I need your grace right now. And you would think that that would soften my heart, but it did not. Because I look just like this in the spirit. And here Brian is on his face in the floor trying to get some stuff growing in his life. And I'm thorning up our soil because I have pride issues and I have humility issues and I have repentance issues. I have issues. And no one's ever told me that I had issues because I look like this on the outside. But on the inside, I didn't think I could be wrong. I didn't think I could be corrected. And I didn't think I could be any of the things that I needed to be married. And some of us find ourselves in that place, and it's like, what do I do now? God, I've lived this way forever, and I've looked so good, but now he's living with me every minute of every day, and I look bad, and I was like, who does he think? Didn't take a minute to think about the fact that God sees everything. Just who does he think that he is? Going in there and talking to God when he's been talking to me like that. That was my attitude. And the Holy Spirit stopped me so fast, and he said, do you think that because you run away, I can't see you? When he said that, man, I fell into the floor in a heap of tears. I began to repent for who I was, the pride of my heart, because it's not about being perfect, and it's not about you thinking that I'm good. It's actually about me being good in front of the Father. And if I don't look so good to you and I look a little bit of a mess, that's okay with me, but it is not okay with me to break my marriage and not obey God. So if I have to look broken in order to be whole, then that's okay with me. We have to get to that place. Because if we don't, then the thorns of life, they grow up and they will squelch out every bit of life, every bit of life that you want. It'll squelch out your relationship with your kids. It will squelch out your relationship with your spouse. It will squelch out every friendship. If you are having trouble making friends, I want you to investigate your soil today. Can you repent? Can you ask them to forgive you? Can you say, I didn't do so good? The other night, I went out with Pastor Travis and Brandy. We went to dinner. I was in a terrible mood. I had a horrible day. I was feeling very overwhelmed. And every single thing that anyone said, I was grumpy. I got home, God convicted me, I sent Brandy a text that said, please forgive me, I'm sorry that I was acting that way. She was gracious to me, she's like, girl, I got you. True friends aren't going to be like, you're right, you're a horrible person. But if they needed to, they might need to sometime, right? Like, you, girl, you got to get it together. Like, when you're talking to your husband that way in front of everybody and your friend calls you and says, girl, you need to straighten it up. That was not honor. You got to treat that man better than that. He is your husband. He is your life. He is who God gave you. Then you go, you know what? I'm going to take that correction. I'm going to do it. Because true friends don't let friends fail in life so that they can look like this in public. That's not what we do. We repent. And when we repent, we get thorns out of our life. And sometimes it takes other people. Sometimes it takes friends. Sometimes it takes professionals. Sometimes you got to subject yourself to a professional that can come in and subjectively look at your life and look through your soil and say, ooh, I think we found it. There's a thorn right there, Ellie, and we're going to just pull it out of your heart. That's why I named Briley that. I want her to be a gift to people. So that when they're hurting, because thorns are painful, you can feel them when they're there. You're not oblivious to them being there. You just don't know what to do with them. And God's saying, let some people in. Let your friends come in and be like, hey, girl, I love you, but you can't act like that. Hey, friend, I love you, but the way you spoke to your kids just now, it was too hard. They don't deserve that. That kid's three. He didn't do what your mama did to you. Your mama hurt you. That kid didn't. Let's get some healing instead of taking it out on the people that you're trying to bring healing to. That's the thorn. But the last one, it's so good when we get the soil rich. See, this is a constant thing. It doesn't go away. It's not when you first meet Jesus. It is when you first meet Jesus, but it's not when you just first meet Jesus. It's when you first meet Jesus. It's when you're knowing Jesus. It's when you're getting to know Jesus. It's when you've known Jesus for a long time. Every single day, we have to be seed protectors and soil inspectors. And if we will protect the seed of the Word of God and inspect the soil of our heart, then we can have good soil that things grow in, and we can have a harvest. It's the number one reason that I believe that the church is so important. It is the hope of the world today. It is everything that God is doing on the earth. I give my life to the church. Why? Because every week that you choose to walk through those doors in this house, Arena of Life Church is serving up a smorgasbord of the food of the Word of God. And every time that the Word comes to you, it is investing into your life. And if you can keep your soil right, you can become an incredible spiritual farmer that brings forth fruit in your season. Fruit. How many of you want fruit? You want to eat it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Every time we come in, the Word of God washes our mind, it changes our thoughts, it changes our actions, if we allow it, if we remove the things from the soil, and then we're able to move into the goodness of God. I'm still not that great at admitting that I'm wrong to Brian. I still try every single day to get better. I still have rocks that I'm getting rid of daily, and I have thorns that I'm having to have other people help me remove. But I refuse to get lazy about my soil because I cannot wait. I've seen too many harvests to let one be squelched out. Every single one of our farmers around us is doing everything they can to make sure that they plant, that the sun shines on it, that the water gets to it. That's the Holy Spirit. The sunshine of the Word of God and the spotlight of God on that seed. We got our soil right. We're in church. Every time the doors are open, we're eating of the Word of God. We're letting it come into us. Those farmers are doing it in the natural. And then when the harvest comes, they don't let it lay there. They don't go on vacation. They're not going to Disney World, closed or unclosed, whenever the harvest comes in. We have to learn to recognize when God is growing huge stuff, to eat of the fruit of it, to pick the fruit of it, and to lay it up for the next season as well. We have to take the harvest in. And I want to encourage you today. I don't know if you have some rocks in your soil, if you have some thorns in your soil. I know that I do on a continual basis, and it is an everyday, constant action. That is what being a Christian is. We're being a Christian. We weren't a Christian. We didn't become a Christian and then stop. We are being Christ-like today, right? Some of you, man, you're like, this is something. Like, it's something I'm dealing with. It's something I, and listen, there is no shame in my game. Every time someone asks if I want to be prayed for, I run. I have traveled thousands of miles to have someone lay hands on me and pray for me. I love people praying with me and agreeing with me. Today, I'd like to welcome you. If you're saying, man, Jesse, I needed this word today. It's ministering to my heart. I just want to invite you down. It's going to be a quick 5-minute altar call, but I want you to just run to the altar. Like, not take your time. Just come on down. And I want us to pray together today that something would change on the inside of us. Because I'm not willing to go down because I just wouldn't get the rocks and the thorns out. I wouldn't let someone else in to talk to me about it. Listen, if I'm your friend, I'm straight. And I expect the same from you. And if you're a good friend, you'll be straight with someone in a kind and good way. And if you're someone else's, if you need a friend, you will be the kind of friend that you want to be. God has so much in store for you girls, and he's not willing for you to miss it because your soil's messed up. Because he loves you too much to let it stay that way. Some of you have been wondering, like, why is nothing growing in my life? Why have I not had a harvest? Like, what? Bitterness, offense, not getting it right, not asking for forgiveness from people, not getting those things will keep the work of God down in your life, keep you from flourishing, right? We want to flourish because if we're in the house of the Lord, the Bible promises that we will flourish in the courts of our God. It's the purpose of God that you flourish in this place. I just want you to lift a hand up to heaven if you feel comfortable with it this morning. man, you might want to lift too. I need everything God has for me. And God, we're not kidding around this morning. These girls aren't kidding around. I can feel it in the spirit. They really want a difference, a change in their heart, in their life. Right now, I lay my hands on you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I say that you are the head and never the tail, above and never beneath. Father, I pray for blessing, for friendships, for God friendships to invade their life during this season. Father, I pray that the thorns and the rocks would be removed, that you would show them where it is that they need to ask for forgiveness, where they need to get forgiveness, where they need to make something right. Lord, maybe they need to go home today to their husband or children and just say, hey, look, I have been not like I should be, and it's keeping the harvest out of my life, and I'm not willing to do it anymore. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus more than I need to be right. I need Jesus more than I need to be okay. I need Jesus more than I need you to think I'm perfect. I need Jesus more than I need my necessary bread today. Some of you are going to go home, and God's going to lead you to fast and pray for a season of time and show you exactly what it is that he wants to do in your heart and in your life. I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them, God. I bless them, God. I bless them, Lord. And I say, God, today that you are giving them grace. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, grace. Father, we thank you for grace. Grace, grace, grace. Lord, I know that you have so many things going on in their heart, so much healing going on in them today. Don't let them miss any of it. Let the anointing come. The anointing come. The weight of God. Now, in Jesus' name, tenderize their heart, Father. Tenderize their heart, Lord Jesus. Tenderize them, Father. Tenderize them. You leave here today with one thing. I just want you to know this. If all the world fails, if everyone fails you, if every single thing that you thought was going to be there forever is gone tomorrow, if everything in life is different than you thought it was going to be, there's one thing that is the only thing that makes any difference, and that is knowing a Jesus that loves you. Don't you let the distractions of life or family or marriage or church or anything keep you. All of those are fantastic things that are necessary. But if I leave you with one thing today, I want to leave you with this. Please find Jesus and know him. Let him know you and get that personal relationship that you talk to him every single day. Because in that place is the only place that true deliverance and harvest comes from. His word is the best place to find him. There's no better place to find out who God is. I'm telling you what, I love you. I'm so grateful that you let me speak to you today. It's not that I just feel such like a burden. Like it's like I see you today and there is like a heaviness on me to tell you, find Jesus. Like he is everything. That's it. In all you're doing, make sure you do that. We get distracted, don't we? Father, we thank you today for all that you are. Thank you, God, for putting your stamp, your seal on the word of God today, sealing it in our hearts, not letting any of it go. Lord, none of it burns up. None of it is squelched out. None of it is done away with by the rocks of the soil. But Father, today I thank you for good soil. A good seed we always know, but good soil we choose today. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at renovlifechurch.org. Or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.